Alright, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday. Super Tuesday, as the case may be on The Usual Suspects. Nick's here, Barry's here, I'm here, we're all present and accounted for. We feel super. Hopefully you do too. Fellas, what's going on?
What up, man?
What's going on, people?
Did you vote?
I did.
Did you?
Yep.
Good for you.
Yeah,
I did not.
Neither did I.
Nope. Are you gonna?
Nope. Nick?
I should.
That doesn't answer the question.
I don't want to say yes and then I don't do it.
The one person that I would have voted for in the primaries dropped out, so I'm out.
You were a Buttigieg guy?
Yeah, whatever you say his name.
Pete Buttigieg?
Yeah.
The thing that bothers me, and of course because it's news related, is the people on the news that call him Buttigieg.
Well,
it's like, you know
I
what?
I probably would have called him Booty Guy.
So. All you got to do, well.
Which isn't appropriate.
I was gonna say,
that's
but,
not appropriate.
Then say Klobuchar, because they even had problems with that one.
Yeah. I don't know.
Would you lose respect for us if we didn't vote?
I've already lost so much respect for you that it doesn't matter at this point.
Oh, don't get me started.
Yeah, it's okay.
Don't get me started about respect.
Well, you know what? You've already started because I can tell it's coming next, so that's fine.
We'll just say I thought we were on better terms than how
Nick,
you treat me.
We are on better terms. The problem is that just little things become big, blown up things, and they don't have to be. We were 2 minutes before air. I was setting up. I thought it was going to be a hiccup type of a fart. It turned out to be one that he smelled. Of course, all hell broke loose.
I heard the entire argument. I wasn't going to bring it up on the air.
Me
I was going to leave it to you two.
I didn't bring it up. I just said I thought you respected me.
You hinted at it enough
more.
That it was coming.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just thought it was going to be a little hint,
it's
and then
like
it turned out to be a
it,
fart.
I owned it. Last time I did it in the hallway, he says I dragged it in with him, so whatever.
I'm just saying, like... You,
it's a pooper super Tuesday. There, we're good. I'm all good in the neighborhood.
You don't do it in here.
So Barry's whole thing is that
I wouldn't have.
Barry's whole thing is that he wants you to be quick enough to get up from your chair, exit the studio, take care of business, destroy like the Michael Carroll area,
yeah,
and then come inside. That's
go
what
to
Barry
AJ's
wants.
Office,
right?
Go do it in AJ's office.
If we had the time, it would have been under consideration.
That's a corner. He has to turn. And then he has to run past.
Guys, y'all act like I've never farted before. I know how this works. You probably were holding it the whole morning.
That's false.
Okay. I know how this works. You could have not made me breathe in your fart. That's all I'm saying. And now I'm over here breathing it in. I got fart dust in my lungs now because of you.
Oh, are you done?
I'm done.
Okay. Well, with the rant being over... Welcome into Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
With The Usual Suspects. I do want to say that
I am proud of you for voting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Lisa and I made sure, even with the baby and all that, that we were going to work it into a schedule so we could both vote this morning. And they built a new high school out in our area. And I was expecting a line, especially with people kind of borderline doing it before work, that where it used to be held in one of the Randalls out there, that the line was normally 50 to 100 people. I literally stopped in Starbucks, and I thought I got behind because there was a suspect in line in front of me. I walk into Starbucks. I'm half asleep. I drop Taylor at school, and all of a sudden, I hear the guy go, Joel, is that you? And I go, yep, that's me. He's like, Joel Blank? And I go, yeah. And he goes, dude, I listen to your show every day.
Well, that's cool.
And I'm in the car, and I love you guys and everything like that. I was like, man,
he
we
like
appreciate
me more
you listening.
Or what?
Huh?
Do you like me more?
No, he said you work with that guy, Terry. And I said, yeah, close enough. But I said, but Nick is the other guy.
Yeah.
And he was great. He wanted to buy me coffee. I said, no, don't worry about it, man. So I was like, man,
No, don't worry about it. Okay.
No, I didn't. I bought my own.
Well, you got to play it off. You'd be like, no, if you want to. You got to start with
now,
a no.
Now, if he'd given me a gift card, I could have given it to Nick.
Yeah, that's true.
But then you would have had to order that really long foo-foo drink, and that would have been embarrassing.
You're the one that gets the freaking Barracuda Crush nuts and all that other cream on that thing that you've been ordering
Thanksgiving
lately.
Thanksgiving or Christmas time, so I'm not ordering from Starbucks.
The last two times we went to Starbucks... He got some kind of a drink in which, aside from the sand, we won't even get into what he ordered to eat, but he had some like multi-syllable, multi-word thing for a coffee, and I didn't even know what he ordered. But I knew that it sounded creamy, nutty, yeah, and all kinds of sprinkles.
Okay.
Yeah. So I order my coffee. I figure now I'm really behind. And I pull up at this new high school. And of course, you get the people in the parking lot with the signs and sure. the cards. And they want to escort you to the building so they can encourage you to vote their way. I walk in. There's probably 12 voting stations. Two were occupied.
Really?
I was like, oh, this is awesome. So I got home and told Lisa, just throw your shoes on. Get going. You don't have to look pretty. Because she's always like, well, I got to put makeup. No, just go. I'll take the baby. There. She came back 15 minutes later. We were done.
Wow. Well, they're actually doing the voting in my neighborhood at our clubhouse.
Okay.
Our precinct actually. So I'm like, why am I not? I don't know. I just.
Is it that you just aren't that up to speed with all the candidates?
No. I'm very up to speed on all the candidates. I'm just kind of. Well. Just like last time, I'm a bit disenfranchised. I feel like I fall in the middle. And I'm certainly at this point. I mean, I don't want to give all my political.
Right.
Feelings away, but at this point I don't feel like there's anybody that I would want to be president. There are people that I don't want to be president. Mm-hmm. So at this point though, it's like I just don't like the choices that we're given.
I'll tell you what I don't like is on the primary side of things. You can't just vote for each individual race, because I'm up to date with some of the races besides presidency.
Sure.
But when you come in, you have to declare which party you want to
correct
to which ballot to show up. And I'm like, well, that I don't really care for, because I'd like to vote on both sides. There's certain races that I'm very concerned with, just who's going to represent either party. And when you can't do that, the other thing I feel guilty about is there's some races that, like the 7th Court of Appeals, I'm not up to speed on that.
Yeah.
So I kind of pass on that one.
Yeah.
Because I just don't know enough.
Right.
But the ones that I was up to speed with, I was pretty passionate about voting for.
Yeah, that is the one thing about the primaries. You do have to pick a side. And that's also part of the reason that I don't. Again, it's kind of a weird thing for me. I don't know. For me in politics, I'm so burned out on it. I'm so disenfranchised with it. It's easy to do because it's been so dominant lately.
You know, the last 4 years have been so just divisive and dominant in terms of everything that we do.
Yeah, there's issues in my mind with the whole thing, the two-party system and all these other things. So, yeah, I'm a bit disenfranchised, and I know people are going to give me hell for not voting, and I don't care. I mean, there's soldiers that died for your right to vote. You're right. They also died for my right not to vote. So that's how I view it, and
I think the other the confusing thing for us, or at least difficult thing for us, is because we're so close to a major city like Houston, you see all the races going on in Houston, and you don't get a say.
Yeah.
And I think that affects people as well. With you know, Nick and myself being out Fort Bend County, we can see all the different races and candidates in Houston, and we don't have a say-so in it.
Well, for those of you that went out and voted, I mean, I commend you. I think it's great that you participate in this in the Super Tuesday and the entire voting process. And I don't begrudge you for voting. I don't begrudge people that don't vote. When there's candidates I like, I vote. If there's not, I don't. That's just how I look at it.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, my cheap excuse for not doing it is because I guess I have
lazy
belief that he's going to get reelected.
Really?
Regardless. I've had that belief. I made that prediction literally on the air here before he even got elected. I said, not only will he become the president, he'll get reelected.
That's
a bad reason not to vote, but that's just how I feel.
You're not the first person that has told me that. Like, you know, like Nora and her sister and others that are family are like, oh yeah, he's going to be reelected. I'm like, I don't see it, but okay.
Weird comparison would be Dana White. I feel like Dana White has done so many things wrong to certain fighters, but I've never stopped becoming a fan of Dana White. I've always loved his brashness.
Yeah.
I think people appreciate brashness. Mm. And that's about as far as I could go in terms of my opinion. But like, that's basically how I feel about it. I'm almost 100% certain he'd be reelected.
I mean, I just don't understand this. There was audio of him giving a speech where he said that the coronavirus is a hoax. And then later when the backlash hits, he goes, I never said that. That's the things that drive me insane. Like, you're literally on TV saying it. And now you're going to say that you didn't say it. Like, just stand by it. If you say it, stand by it. Because there are people out there. Dr. Drew, did you see this?
No.
Dr. Drew from, you remember
the different shows.
Adam Carolla with Dr. Drew. It's called Loveline.
Yep.
He's saying that this is being blown way out of proportion by the media. So, I don't care if that's your stance. Just stay by it. Stop being so hypocritical. Stop saying you didn't say something when you're literally on. There's video. There's TV of you saying it.
Well, that's. I mean, like I said, that's part of it. Is that people have like broken up on Facebook. Friends that have been friends for decades are not friends anymore. It's all because of the divisiveness of everything that's political these days. And you know, it was interesting because it looked like a complete crap show that was going to have seven different candidates on a stage every 2 days beating the hell out of each other. And then all of a sudden, just like that, people are just dropping out left and right to try and whittle it down, because I think they honestly realized, to your guys' point, if this is going to be a battle to be fought out and won, you can't have six on one side and one on the other, because he's just sitting there laughing at everything going on the other side.
You know, I was thinking about that. I didn't watch many of the Democratic debates, but it's the same in Democratic debates and Republican debates. Either way, they tend to cannibalize each other. And that kind of doesn't make sense to me, where you've got 7, 8, 10 candidates who are all pointing out the flaws of the other candidates and basically spilling the tea, giving the other party ammunition, so that when it does come down to the presidential race, all of the nasty stuff that was said internally amongst that party can now be used against them by the other party. It just, that doesn't make sense to me, but it's something that's the process. And you know, you watch it and you think, man, what a mess this is. And I don't know. I don't see the positives in it right now. I know it's the greatest country on earth, and I know we have the greatest system on earth, but sometimes I question if it could be better. I think it always could be better. I think that there's things that we could do. I mean, the Electoral College is a question, and just there's a, but I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't want to live in a dictatorship. I wouldn't want to live in any other country on this planet.
I'm with you,
but there's ways to fix this to make it better.
Go back to the last election. How is it that the popular vote, like, you can have more votes nationwide than the other candidate, but you can lose because you didn't get enough delegates.
Yeah, that's been an issue now for a while. I think the choices that were given, it's all about money. If you don't have money, you can't be in politics, and I think that's an issue too. So it's just, there's a lot that's wrong, but there's way more that's right about it. So.
Well, and I wanted to ask you guys real quick, because of the guy, Tom Steyer's one of the guys that dropped out. He's a billionaire, right?
He was the one that was kind of independently, like Bloomberg almost, where he was just running commercials.
And all of a sudden he spent all his money. He drops out, his commercials are still running, and I find out, I don't know if he's a multi-billionaire or just a billionaire, but they said he blew $160 million on advertising.
Well, that's just
I looked at Lisa and went, I don't care if it's like money for our kids' kids and all that. There's no way I could sleep at night knowing that I was going to be so far out of the race, and I'm going to throw $160 million at it just because.
Wiki says his net worth is $1.6 billion, which I still think that number is incredibly high with a net worth of $1.6 billion.
Well, it's now down to about $1.2 because he's loaned that much on advertising.
Yeah.
Wow. And he's out. So you got that going for you, which is nice. All right, we're going to just get started on the usual suspects, which means we're going to get the suspects in here on a Super Tuesday. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number. You can also hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back in my happy place with my home away from home, Nick, Barry, and myself on a Super Tuesday, as we kind of become the voice of reality and just friendly everyday talk in the midst of all the muck in the rhetoric,
the crazy world that is
Super Tuesday, because you know it's going to consume the rest. If you watch TV at all today,
you know, not doing
it's,
that.
It's just nothing but. And Lisa is just chomping at the bit, because now being stay at home mom for a while, she's like, oh my God, I lived for this. And I'm going to tell you this: when she was on the news, the week and a half leading up to elections, she had like a Sears catalog of notes. She was so serious about it, like from the pronunciation of everybody's names to the candidates to the major issues within. And I'm talking about from circuit court judge to district attorney to everything. She national, local. She knew it like the back of her hand by the time she went on the air. And she looked forward to knocking it out of the park on an election day. So it's different for us, but yet she's still passionate. Like every time. Like, I take Taylor to the gym at night. When I come home, guaranteed CNN is on. And if there's a debate or one of those town halls, I'm telling her she's got to go in another room. She's going in the bedroom or she's going in the nursery and she's watching it, because I'm going to watch the Rockets or I'm going to watch sports. But she's still that dialed into it because that's what she's done her whole life.
That's fun. That's good, though.
Yeah, certain people are like that. Yeah. So,
you want to get this out of the way? Johnny has a coronavirus call. Because apparently he doesn't agree with something I said, or he wants to correct me.
Okay.
So, Johnny, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, like the objective approach, and this is just, y'all do a good job of putting your opinion out there, but y'all are really good also about keeping everything pretty, you know, even-keeled and objective. So, when you mentioned earlier about Trump owning the whole hoax thing, it wasn't that he's, you know, backtracking on what he said. He was talking about the liberal media politicizing the virus, calling it the Trump virus and all of that. That is the hoax. He's not stating that the actual coronavirus itself is in fact a hoax. So just wanted to clear that up since y'all brought it to the attention of everybody.
Yeah, well, it was, appreciate the call, Johnny, but I'm not going to turn this into defending and attacking statements. And the,
did you bring, you brought up the coronavirus?
Yeah, I did. But I can just tell you what I saw and then what I saw again. So that's that.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me elaborate.
Are we going to talk about this first before we take this call?
Yeah. Let me elaborate on this for you first on the coronavirus. No. So here's another overnighter as part, and it rolls into the Rockets game. But if you missed it last night, leading up to the Rockets Knicks game at the Garden, Spike Lee came into the building the way he normally has for the last 30 years and was stopped by Knicks officials. To the point where he was so irritated that in a very cuss-laden statement, he said, are you going to do to me what you did to Oakley and handcuff me and walk me out of here? He just then went to his seat to watch the game. By the time that he got done with the third quarter, he realized that it was all over social media and it was a huge story how the Knicks had treated him. So he was not going to say a word. And then, as the story surfaced, some people started to make fictitious headlines and assumptions that weren't true. And he said, I got to do something about this. So he calls Stephen A. Smith and says, I'd like to make a statement that he said, why don't you come on the show? He comes on the show live this morning. And fellas, I'm going to tell you something. I've lived through this stuff. So I know when there's an underlying issue here. But he said he's been using the same entrance and the same exit for 30 years. He's been a season ticket holder since they drafted Patrick Ewing. They guesstimated, and he had one of his people calculate the numbers last night. He spent, with inflation, approximately $10 million on the Knicks on tickets in the past 30 years. He has been as loyal as anybody gets, and arguably he is literally the Jack Nicholson to the Lakers. He is to the Knicks. He is like a marketing tool for the Knicks. And now, all of a sudden, on the same day they name a new president, all of a sudden, Spike Lee's in the crosshairs. And he said he went to an event last Wednesday, no issues. Used the same entrance, same exit. Last night, all of a sudden, huge issue. And he goes, they know my cell phone. They could have called me. They didn't do any of that. And all of a sudden, they're going to stop me and make a scene with me behind the scenes. And he was ticked. And the other thing I didn't like was, he says, I'm done with the Knicks for this year, but I will be back next year. And they're like, see, therein lies the problem. You're not going to be kind of like you were with the Texans when you picked the Chiefs. Until Dolan is gone, Max Kellerman has said, and he's a long time, grown up a Knicks, he's done. Spike wouldn't go that far. However, in everything that he said when he was questioned, he was quick to make sure he didn't say a disparaging word about Mr. Dolan, as they called him, which also aggravated me. And he said, you'll have to ask him time and time again, but said, I've never said anything to disparage him. It's an ugly situation, and I've been through how the organization can absolutely crap on you when you least expect it. But that's it's a bad look for a team that needs good pub right now.
I think it's a double-edged sword in a way, too, though, right?
How so?
Well, so you do get that he's a dedicated fan, and he spends a lot of money. But why would he need a phone call and preferential treatment? Would they do that for anybody else?
I think,
or is it just because it's Spike Lee?
Well, I think here's what you got to consider.
So it's like, okay, Spike, but would anybody else get that preferential treatment?
One thing he said was, if I'm one day late with my deposit for my tickets, I'm getting calls all over the place. But if you're going to change the policy of what I've been doing for the last umpteen years.
What he's been doing. Not everybody else, but what he's been doing.
But he's a little different than everybody else, Barry. And as much as you like to say everybody's created equal and treated equal, when you from an organizational perspective, the season ticket holders and the ticket buyers are on tiers. And when you're on a certain level and you're buying certain tickets courtside, like I said, $3,900 a ticket for two tickets for 30 years. He said his wife's going to kill him when she finds out he spent over $10 million with the Knicks. I can tell you right now, just like at Toyota Center, the VIPs that are going to be in that front row, those front two rows, they get treated a lot differently than the people that are buying nosebleed season tickets,
right?
It's like
buying a first-class ticket on a plane versus riding in coach. You're going to get treated differently. You're going to get more
with
perks.
With that, I guarantee you, Akeem Olajuwon, some of the celebs that come to games, Travis Scott, they're not going in the main entrance. They're being treated a certain way. And I think what he's saying is, I've never said I wouldn't do it a different way, but just tell me. If I'm conditioned after all these years to be going in that door, and he said he walks out every night, and at the Garden, it's a indoor spiral ramp because the Garden is literally on like level 7. It's all kind of off a street level. So when you come into the Garden, you climb up a long spiral driveway that gets you all up to the 7th level. And then you walk out. He goes, every night I've walked out the ramp, down the ramp to where my car is waiting or to street level to get a cab. All of a sudden, he said, I'm walking out that way and they tell me they won't let me do that anymore. He goes, all I needed was someone to explain to me before it actually happened, because it's embarrassing too that it's now he's on video. He said it's a horrible look that he's on video cussing and getting all upset, but it completely blindsided him.
I mean, what you're saying is rational and makes sense. You're right that the celebs are always going to get preferential treatment. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if was a phone call made to anybody else, or were they just all told there? In other words, it's not like Spike was singled out.
Well, Chris Rock was at the game last night. It's an interesting question to find out if Chris Rock, when he goes to games, does he use the same entrance and exit or exit? And was he told? It's a valid question. But I think the way he handled, you could tell he was holding back this morning on every question. He was like, he wanted to go off on them. And then he would take a deep breath, and you could tell he would reevaluate his thoughts. And then he'd be like, you'd have to ask them that because I'm not going to answer it. Because because of the way Dolan's acted, when anybody has booed him or when they started yelling at him to sell the team, those were the people that were told they were banned from the Garden. He's taken a petty approach to everything from Charles Oakley to all the just general fans that yell or say anything bad about him. And Spike, because he said, I care about these players and coaches.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I think you're right. It does sound a little bit like a spoiled millionaire complaining. Just a little bit. But I understand what you're saying about, hey, just let me know. I'll go a different way if I need to go a different way. Just don't tell me right there because it's embarrassing. But if they didn't do it for anybody else that sits in those seats.
But on the flip side, I could reverse it. Say, do you think they threw security at anybody else?
Well,
and made it a big deal?
The dynamic of preferential treatment is always there, right? Even if you're not a celebrity.
True.
You know, and so I think that's
Starbucks.
If I don't, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
I mean, if I paid all that money and I'm not a celebrity and then they didn't tell me, I'd be upset.
$10 million is a lot of money. You'd think phone call would be worth it.
If that makes me a bougie person, then fine.
Yeah.
Think about it. All-star games, finals, at other arenas. He's decked out in Knicks gear head to toe. And you're thinking that's a bad thing with the bad looks this franchise has had, not only just recently with Dolan and then the poor performance of the team and everything else, but just overall in the last how many years of suck? You at least got a big-time Hollywood celeb. It's like Billy Crystal when he was with the Clippers when they sucked.
I'm Team Spike.
It was you a positive thing,
I
right?
I'm Team Spike. Okay. You're right. I mean, it makes sense.
All right, so we'll continue to roll on. If you want to chime in on that or anything else, we've got plenty more to get to, including that actual game last night at the Garden that the Rockets laid an egg in. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, half hour in, 3 hour extravaganza on ESPN 97.5. We take you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7 on a Super Tuesday. Not a Super Tuesday if you're a Rockets fan. After 6 quality wins, playing better and better small ball, I guess it's one of those deals where you look at the schedule and you know your next game after last night's going to be a huge home game against the Clippers. This is the ultimate maybe looking past an opponent or assuming you were going to win, but instead of a win and 7 in a row heading into that game at home against the Clips, you lose one that is going to stick in your craw the rest of the season to a very, very bad Knicks team at Madison Square Garden.
As I'm watching the game, which I missed a little bit of it, it made me think of something I said on air not too long ago about small ball and this team in the playoffs, which is I know your concern really is about bigs and slowing down the game, but one of the things that I had brought up as a concern, I think you saw last night, which is shooting can go. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your shots aren't going to fall, and if that happens and it becomes a bit of a slump like what Harden is in, but it's kind of like we talk about hitting is contagious in baseball, where if a team is slumping and one guy starts to get hot, the other guys start to get hot. The same could be true in basketball both ways. Shooting can be contagious. You can start to slump. The whole team starts to, you know, tighten up a little bit. And next thing you know, you're losing to the Knicks by 21 because your shot's not falling. I think they started the third quarter or the fourth quarter, like 0-7 or something. So I saw it and I thought, this could be a glimpse into the future of Rockets basketball in the playoffs.
Yep.
If their shots don't fall. I mean, everything else, I mean, yeah, they got out-rebounded, and that was a big key. Where your heart and soul was null and void. He did not show up at all.
They got bullied on the boards, man. They did. Absolutely.
Julius Randle did whatever he wanted last night.
I mean, and that's a concern when you have an undersized P.J. Tucker out there trying to be a big guy.
Not just him, though. Because I mean, across Covington the front pulled line, down
13. Covington held his own.
But it's more than just getting the rebounds that you do get. It's boxing out. It's, you know, preventing second chance. Sometimes they're tip outs.
Well, there were no second chance points for the Rockets. I mean, their offensive rebounding was
awful. That's what I'm saying. And the Knicks kept a lot of balls alive last night.
Yeah.
They were hustling all over the place. But to your point, I mean, that is the detriment of small ball. If you're not making shots and you don't have a ready-to-go plan B that you will abort plan A and go to quickly, you can catch yourself in these situations more times than not. It's a detriment along with the rebounding. And so you have to adjust for it. And I go to the Milwaukee-Miami game last night as exhibit A as to one where I'm on record all year as saying, I don't know that I believe in the Bucks in the playoffs for the same reason that I'm not trusting the Rockets, which is when a team has a chance for a 7-game series to just scheme on you and you only have one guy that dribbles the hell out of the ball, you could be in trouble. Last night, Miami threw 3 guys at Giannis Antetokounmpo, made him as uncomfortable as he's been all year, and absolutely took it to the Bucks and became the first team to beat them twice in a season. Mm. The Rockets are going to face the same kind of thing. You may not see it now. You may see more of it in the playoffs. But they are going to make sure that they make Harden and then Westbrook uncomfortable. that they make sure that other people have to handle the ball and be more a part of the offense than those two guys, and they're going to live with the results. You can win series when you're playing teams like Utah and lesser teams in the first round. When you start getting down to the bare bones of the best teams in the West, you're going to face some. And then when you
well, I mean, yesterday we were singing their praises, right? So we can't just get wishy-washy over game to a team that they probably, like you said, looked past and their shot wasn't falling. I still think small ball can be effective. Obviously, playoffs is going to be a different thing. But this is the risk you take, right, is not being able to rebound and your shot not falling.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, no. I gave him a lot of praise yesterday, too, so I'm no different. I did make reference to the fact that I was not happy with them not getting that rebound when the Celtics intentionally missed that second free throw, because I said that can't happen. And they had three players in double-digit rebounds. Covington was the only one, I think, that had double-digit rebounds in that game. And so that just can't happen. So I think you saw a little bit of, you know, the quote-unquote small ball being exploited a little bit. But they're going to have to do what they can in a seven-game series to make the adjustments, especially if a team is gunning for that. Like, if they're game planning to attack whatever it is that they find is weak with their small ball, whether it's hitting the boards or defense or, you know, taking more shots or making them take bad shots, that's the problem. But I still think more than one person could get double-digit rebounds on this team. I don't know why it ended up like that. But
I here's the thing, and I haven't wavered. The regular season, I really believe this team's going to still be successful. They found a way now where I think they're going to guarantee themselves a top four spot. And I said the playoffs are a different animal. We'll get to that when we get there, right? But the problem is there's no room for error like there used to be. When you had a bigger lineup, you could have these nights where Harden, which now back-to-back games, he has been consistently bad shooting the three ball.
He's 7-for-30.
Yeah, that's bad.
in two games.
The margin for error is not what it used to be, right? So you can't live through that as easily as you could when you had bigger bodies to get rebounds. You also have to, like I said, be able to adjust on the fly and realize, hey, he's not on again. Maybe we got to, we talked about it yesterday, get to the free throw line, attack the basket, use the mid-range when you have to, go to Russ a little bit more. But you also have to hustle a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I'll throw this into
the
mix.
That's a good point.
The other thing that I'll throw in, and I think you guys know this, but whether you call it industry night or in different cities, there are different nights when it's the hot night. And I always tell you guys, if the Rockets are in Miami over a weekend and they got a day game, they're screwed. Sunday nights in New York is basically, it's off the hook. It's on fire.
Really?
So there's also the factor in of, we know one of the two best players likes to get out and get after it. On a Sunday night with your only trip to New York, it is a possibility. But regardless of what you did the night before, when you put those sneaks on the hardwood, you have to realize there's, when I say no margin for error, that means you got to hustle for loose balls. You got to run out and contest the perimeter. You got to do Daniel House. Look, they had four guys in double 20 plus in their starting lineup for the first time in decades last night with House, Covington, Westbrook, and Harden.
It's crazy.
And still lost.
Yeah.
So you're still going to score points. It's just the rebounding, which a lot of times, as we talked about yesterday with Rodman and everything else and all the examples we gave, it's desire and it's hustle. And if you are dragging for any reason or the desire's not there, you're going to get beat.
Yeah. When you look at it, the margin of victory is the difference between James making one of those 13 or one of those 10 threes that he missed, right? Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, because he got to the line. He had 16 of his 35 was from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. So good for him. He drove. I think it's like you said, though, with the points. I mean, P.J. Tucker putting up a goose egg. Oof. I realize that you've got a guy who's going to do all the little things and the intangibles. And, you know, we kid about heart and soul. And I give you a hard time about it, but I agree with you. He makes the Rockets go, right? I mean, P.J. Tucker makes the Rockets go. But at the same time, he can't have 0 points and be a starter. Like, you have to get some. If you just get 3 points out of this dude, you win. If you get 2 points out of him, you're going to overtime. You got 0 out of P.J. Tucker. To me, you got 0 points. You got 5 rebounds. That's, I mean, there's two things P.J. Tucker needs to do, since rebound and knock down threes, and he didn't do either of those.
Since they've gone small ball, they haven't won a rebounding battle, which is kind of a given, right?
Been close, I'm sure, one or two here and there, right?
Difference of 30 rebounds.
Yeah, that last night, I mean, if this team loses the rebound battle by three or four.
You can overcome that.
Sure, but you're right. Last night, I think you said it best, they got bullied. They just got pushed around, and New York was bigger and stronger, it felt like.
Yeah, so we'll see. They're back on the court. They get a couple days off. They take on the Clippers at Toyota Center in a monster game this Thursday night. If they win it, they win the season series and have that first tiebreaker against the team that they're going to be neck and neck with the rest of the way. So that'll be a big one. Right now, before we go to the break, I do want to take a few minutes to welcome in a new sponsor of ours and a place that, guys, seriously, they want to take care of you. It's called Apollo Men's Health. And whether you're experiencing low T and your testosterone levels are low and you don't have any energy, or you need a little extra help in the bedroom, these guys are dedicated to helping you, and they do it your way. If you want to get in and out quickly because you feel uncomfortable in the surroundings, they're going to make sure that they take care of you and you don't have to spend a lot of time in the waiting room. If you like that home atmosphere where you come in and they offer you Gatorade or water and they treat you like family and they listen to issues that you have going on aside from medically and they can help you like a trusted friend, they're going to do that too. They're just great in the way they go about taking care of people, and they really take care of the guys that I'm talking about. It's rooted in compassion and desire that they created this business, and they're going to take care of every little thing. So when you go to Apollo Men's Health, it's not just like another testosterone therapy clinic. It's cutting-edge hormone pellet therapy, so you don't have to go in once a month or once every couple months. You go in once every 6 months, and it's not the ups and downs and the roller coasters of the way the hormone therapy would work otherwise. It's consistency, which is all you really want. They do composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy. They increase your overall quality of life in the best way possible on your schedule. Remember, your health is your wealth, so invest in yourself. Call 832-664-9966 or go to their website, apollomh.com, and book your first appointment. Most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. I'm telling you, you will be glad you did.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, by the way, we're back on The Usual Suspects. Interesting side note, fellas.
Yes?
We were talking recently
about,
for a lot of reasons. We do. We talk on a daily basis.
That's right.
Sometimes, as you pointed out, astutely, I might add, we spend more time together than our families.
Yeah.
Our families.
Sometimes we fight like a married couple and a family, the three of us. But that's going to happen when you spend this. There are weeks where I spend more time with you guys than I do my wife. Mm-hmm. Fact. Especially this week because she's out of town. So
I mean, I don't feel good when I take
Nick's, me know when you guys are ready for sex.
When I take Nick's allowance away or I increase his chores for a week, I don't feel good about that.
You don't?
But I feel like it's better in the long run for the show.
Okay. Well,
so with that said, one of the conversations we had recently was the fact that whether you go and you trace it back to his tweet about Hong Kong or the fact that the team was kind of up and down and there was a lot of pressure on what they were going to do, trade deadline and others, we haven't heard anything from Daryl Morey. And lo and behold, he reconnected with a former Houston radio host, Nick Wright, on Foxnet.
Okay.
And offered up some comments about the trade deadline, Robert Covington, and what it means for specifically Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Pros and the cons that you knew would go along with it.
Yeah, so the biggest reason for the trade was to get Covington. So, and he's actually been even better than we thought. We thought it'd be great. As you mentioned, he was at the Rockets first, and we sort of knew what we were getting. But he's developed and gotten way better. So the main focus was get Covington. And the reason for that is not only how good he is, but how much he helps, we think, everyone on the team, but in particular Russell Westbrook. We The driving lanes for him, we think, are super important. And in fact, he hasn't played with this spacing before, and it unlocks, basically, we think, you know, the best Russell and allows him to do what you even saw last night. I mean, he almost came back, and we dug ourselves a hole, and he almost brought us back by himself. So
interesting, he came out right after the game last night. He looked like Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks's character that had been talking to a volleyball for a long time in Castaway, with his beard and the fact that he looked like he crawled out of a cave. But he resurfaced. Interesting dialogue there. And when he was talking about the passing lanes, all I could think about for the second straight game, Russ came flying down the chute twice in the fourth quarter. The one for the power dunk over two guys was sick.
Yeah.
And then a play that they ran early in the season with Russ, having run for a while. Russ gets a running start from the backcourt when they were down three. And by the time he catches the ball, he's got a full head of steam. And it's like, good luck stopping that. And they got a quick two out of it. And it's like, you know what? That makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. Because, you know, we know Daryl's an analytics guy. But what he said means that they've committed to small ball in a big way.
Right, and you like that they're looking at it, not just like, oh, well, we just got rid of Capella because he doesn't fit us shooting three-point shots. They're looking at this offense differently, and you like hearing that. And so far, I like the results. I mean, I can't lie. Small ball, the experiment thus far, last night notwithstanding, the experiment has gone well.
No question, because if you don't make those moves, you're wallowing in trying to get a top four seed as opposed to dominating the rest of the regular season, getting home court advantage in the first round, and setting yourself up for whatever may happen in the playoffs. And we said we'll get to that when the time comes. But it's definitely put a different positive light on this team. So a lot remains to be seen. And I think it also says a lot for what we talked about yesterday as well, which is Mike D'Antoni finally got the ear of the owner and the general manager and said, look, I fully get that my fate lies in what we do this year. Mm. But if that's going to be the case, then let me put us in a position to play the way I want to play with the best possible personnel to execute it, and I'll take my chances. And so far, he's resurrected, like we talked about, a chance to come stay with this team after this year because of the fact that they're playing so much differently and better than they were a month and a half ago.
Agreed. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out as it goes on. But the only other thing that still, when I look at it, though, and he mentioned it with the Covington thing, there is a bit of frustration in knowing you had Covington before anybody else, and he walked. You had Bruno Caboclo, and you let him get away, and then you had to trade for him to get him back. You had Damari Carroll once, and you knew what you had, and then you went and got him back. So sometimes you're great at talent evaluation, but stick with your gut and realize you got something.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
It makes sense, but at the same time, too, I'm not going to knock a guy for tinkering, and most of those guys other than Covington are role players. And if you're moving them to try to get better role players or you think you might get better, and then, I mean, well, you could kind of see, but you're right. It looks odd when you're like, oh, yeah, we had this guy.
Now we're going to give up assets to get him back
for a guy we had. But
I mean, I'll tell you this. It's better than the square peg round hole philosophy where you're bringing in guys like James Ennis, Michael Carter Williams, you know, guys that can't shoot that you're trying to make into shooters. This way, at least you identified a guy with a skill set that fits and you're bringing him back to fit in better the second time around, which I really, truly like. So, I mean, from that standpoint, I'm good with it. I'm telling you guys, I sat there in the summer when Covington was an undrafted free agent, and I watched him scrimmage with a bunch of NBA guys that live in Houston. And I remember James Harden walking over to the sideline, shaking his head, and I was like, what's up? And he goes, you see that guy out there? And I was like, Covington, right? And he goes, 6'8 sniper? He's like, if dude shoots it like this in games, damn. The only problem was, early on, he was one of those guys where he killed it in practice, and when the lights got bright, he wasn't used to playing like in that environment on that big of a stage. It took him some time to develop, but once he did, you know, he had the skill of shooting, which is, you know, something that is really tough to – it's a rare skill in the league, and he took advantage of it. So we'll see. The other thing, as I mentioned, the Bucks ended up losing last night. I got a problem when you look at – and I want to say it was – was it Westbrook the other night that did in the Boston game where he did the step back fadeaway and ended up kicking one of the Celtics in the grapes? and got a flagrant one.
And, I don't remember that.
Yeah, and everybody was like, "Well, how was that last night?" George Hill of the Bucks was trying to guard Goran Dragic. He not only shot the fadeaway; it wasn't just a foot; it was the knee, full force into his groin.
Mm.
They reviewed it, and they decided it wasn't a flagrant one. And I was like, nothing could be more flagrant than the fact that George Hill tried to get up three times and wasn't able to stand up straight because of how hard he was hit below the belt.
Ouch.
I'm like, that, you just... And Chauncey Billups and McHale were doing the game. And Chauncey's like, for all you guys out there, you know, it's the worst possible situation to be in. And that's if you just get kind of tapped or hit. But he got crushed.
I didn't see it, but that don't sound good.
You know, some people enjoy crushed nuts, but that's normally when you're having a snack while having a drink at a bar, not in the middle of a basketball game. But that's another story for another day. All right, that's hour number one of the show. We still got 2 hours to go. Lots more to get to. Trevor Bauer took the whole sign stealing issue to a whole new level. That's crazy. And so much more. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.